Just take a moment and let that settle. So, my darlings, here we are. Another week goes by. Another week in this life. When you get to be my age, you sometimes think, boy, they're going really quickly. Mm-hmm. So, the days of awe. Love that phrase. It's so awesome. I love the notion of awe, you know? Think about when we're in awe. Not in that separated way, when we're, you know, in awe, but it's an intimidated awe. But the awe of the magnificence, the splendor, the magnificent splendor of this life, even when it's seeming to be the opposite, even then, the magnificent splendor of this life. So it's a sacred time of year, no matter what religious tradition we may hail from. And Navaratri, of course, is so lovely. You have to love a tradition that celebrates the nine nights of the goddess. You know, as I have grown and deepened and wisened and perhaps grown more cynical, perhaps, that's a piece of it. Or maybe more zen-like, more interested in the essence, less interested in the explosion. So, as you know, those of you who have been with me for a long time know, I go through these periods where the form just loses my interest and my attention. And I've been in one of those for a while now. But you know, the goddess, I just love the goddess. I think as a woman, with all apologies to poor Dan, who's the only man here tonight, for women who've grown up in a masculine-centric world for so many years, I mean, our lifetimes, and then we know many, many centuries going back, it's so refreshing for a woman to come across images of the divine that take the form of the feminine. It's just refreshing, you know. We need it for our healing. We need it for our mirroring. I mean, we've talked about this for a zillion years, and we know that all of us have been cut off from the feminine because the values of the feminine have been totally devalued in the culture. So I thought, and I know you all know this, I'm not saying anything particularly new or revolutionary or insightful. It was insightful 25 years ago, but not so much anymore. Nevertheless, it's still very true, and nevertheless, even though we've been hearing it for so many years, very few of us really get it. So I thought it all bears repeating, and I thought I will take this time of Navaratri as an excuse to go back into some teachings on the deep feminine, on the sacred feminine, on the goddess, and let us see where that leads us to. Today is the first day I have been a productive human being since I'm back from Bhakti Fest. So I thought, let us chant the Devi. We haven't chanted the Devi in ages. But before we chant it, even though you all know it, I think it bears repeating. And remember, as I said in the email today, and that's the bottom line, we've got to really get that the feminine is the inner being. It's the power within. And we experience it in so many different aspects. And this lovely hymn articulates 21 aspects. So let me just read you the aspects and just really take them in. Really take them in and really get that every one of these aspects, along with all the ones that aren't mentioned, is not only a piece of our wholeness, but it's also a piece of our divine wholeness. And within the teachings of the goddess traditions, within the mythology of the goddess traditions, within the spectrum of the goddess, everything belongs. Nothing is out of place. Everything is accepted, embraced, and simply cherished as another aspect of creation. And again, I think one of the reasons, you know, I'm thinking about this today. I've been thinking a lot lately about anxiety and the role that anxiety plays in our mind-body system and where it comes from and why we sometimes experience it. And if you think about it, you'll realize that anxiety exists in that space where we don't remember that we are held, right? In that space where we feel alone, in that space where we feel cut off from that which holds us through all the ups and downs, no matter what. When we move into an anxiety space, we're moving into a fear space, and not the kind of fear that there's a bear getting ready to attack and we need to move. That's a different kind of fear. We're talking about the fear that paralyzes us. We're talking about the fear that makes us doubt ourselves. We're talking about the fear that is both triggered by and also triggers more of this experience of isolation, aloneness, alienation, cut offness. And that is a state that affects gazillions of us because we've been trained to be always seeking out, 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 out. You know, we're very caught up in exterior paradigms and we lose contact with our inner being. And that is what we personify as the goddess. So goddess teachings are always about returning home. The goddess is home. Goddess teachings are always about returning to that internal space, spaciousness, I should say, that is holding us no matter what. We're never alone. We're never alone. And there's always, I don't even want to use words like possibility. Nothing bad can happen, because even when something bad happens, it's okay. Because good and bad, from our limited understanding, seem like one is good and one is bad. But when we get down to the root of being, we're just sitting in the center, you know? And it's good or it's bad, and that's really, all of that resolves in the totality of awe. Awe in the mystery. You know, you all know what I'm saying. I have this experience over and over and over again. I can get caught up in whatever and I'll become contracted. I'll contract into that sense of alienation, isolation, whatever it may be. Tonight, I was working on this stuff all day. It was great to actually have energy again, feel like doing something again. But of course, everything takes 12 times longer than I have bracketed for. And of course, the printer always gives me problems. So instead of being upstairs at 5 as I intended, I wasn't upstairs until around 6:30 as I did not intend. And I felt myself going into that contraction of separation, and then the story kicks in, oh my God, I don't have enough time. I still have to vacuum. I haven't eaten anything today. I have to change. I have to do puja. How am I ever going to get this done? Why do I have class? Why do I keep doing this? It's too much work. That whole litany. And then I said, huh, it's fine. Relax. Just vacuum. And eat something. And get dressed. You took a shower this morning, it's fine. It'll take you 2 seconds. And drink some tea. And do your puja. And relax. And the whole litany just dissolved. So, you know, that's just like a teeny tiny example of what happens when we cut off from what we could call the source, what in the context of goddess work we'll call the deep feminine. So this lovely hymn is celebrating the Divine Mother as the inscrutable power pervading all things. The power known as consciousness in all things, known as intelligence in all things. Nidra in the form of sleep. Right? Buddhi, intelligence, nidra, sleep. Kshuda, hunger. Chaya, appearance. Shakti, power. Trishna, longing. Kshanti, forgiveness. Jati, all life, everything. Laja, humility. Shanti, peace. Shraddha, faith. Kanti, beauty. Lakshmi, abundance. Vritti, thought. Smriti, memory. Daya, compassion. Tushti, contentment. Matra, mother. Bhranti, confusion. And I've always loved that the hymn ends with Devi in the form of confusion. I find that a very hopeful and compassionate statement. Even confusion is part of this great matrix that we personify as the goddess. So let's chant the hymn. And while we chant, kind of feel all those glorious possibilities inside of yourself.